As we wrap up 2025, one thing's clear. Uncertainty isn't temporary. It's the world we live in now. Noble Gold Investments helps Americans protect what they've built with real gold and silver, holding value when everything else feels uncertain. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com and take your first step toward a safe future. This holiday season, when you open up a qualified account, you'll receive 10 one-ounce commemorative silver holiday coins. Visit Noble Gold today.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
Hey, what's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Protecting homes and businesses from the whims of nature, you need more than just quality materials. You require Riverland Roofing. Licensed, insured, and certified, Riverland Roofing offers not only the assurance of excellence, but a tailored approach to your unique structural needs and budget. To learn more about what Riverland Roofing can do for you and the community, call them at 662-644-4297 or visit riverlandroofing.com.
You're locked into Talk of Champions, an Ole Miss sports podcast with Ben Garrett and Billy Embody of the Ole Miss Spirit. Hey, everybody. Welcome inside, at least for me, the Riverland Roofing Studios, that little house that's usually up top, but you can't see it, so I bring it out to you. Riverland Roofing, for all your roofing needs, they support everything we do at the Ole Miss Spirit, omspirit.com, affiliate of Bone 3, sign up for a dollar, and here on Talk of Champions, the podcast that one Nick Suss, formerly of the Jackson Clarion Ledger, formerly one of the most beloved Ole Miss football, basketball, baseball beat writers we had, now in Tennessee on draft day, taking his time to join this edition of Talk of Champions. He covers the Titans now, and they've got the number one overall pick. And yet he says, Ben, no, I have to join you on Talk of Champions. My friend, how we been?
We've been good. I have missed you. I have missed this show. I have other podcasts and other radio shows I do in Nashville, and none of them have ever felt quite as the right kind of dumb for me. I have missed this weekly stupidity we used to put into the airwaves, and I'm glad to be back.
See, and I'm glad to have you back because I have missed the perspective of that's sus. Like you always, if I'm always operating at 11, which anybody that knows me knows, I'm always kind of up here just, blah, 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 blah. I hate silence. That's the one thing I learned when I went yesterday, Nick. You used to love these. Instead of the Rebel Road Trip, they're now the Grove Collective Caravan. And so I went to the one in Tupelo. And I don't know why I went. I'm glad I did, I guess. I saw a number of people. I saw Keith Carter and Lane and Walker and Kelvin Bolden, a bunch of people that were there. And yet the atmosphere was not that of a Ben Garrett atmosphere, right? So when there was a lot of quiet moments, what do you think I was doing? Just a million miles a minute. But see, Nick, you've always been like that for me. Now, usually ours is about TV and other ridiculous things. But see, I need you back on this beat to kind of join me in these ridiculous conversations to keep the quiet from taking over us all, man. That's where you're missed. I need someone to get on board with me about, I don't know, Daredevil Born Again, or why I just couldn't get into Cheers. There's so much that we could dive into.
I almost wore my Cheers shirt for this. I should have as a prop. It's that thing where, like, I've been telling people over and over again, the main difference between covering the NFL versus covering colleges is if you see rival fans in the NFL bickering with each other, it's going to be like, well, your team paid $4 million over asking price for this receiver. I would have only paid for him at 13, but you paid for him at 17, and that means your team is dumb.
And I don't know.
College fans bickering with each other is usually just going to be some four-letter words.
That kind of sounds like the conversations that are happening now, Nick. Like, you know, oh, of course you shouldn't pay $4 million for Nico and let him walk to UCLA for $1.5 million. It's a different world now. I mean, you're seeing the professionalization of college sports unlike ever before. Everything's corporatized. So, hey, whenever you're ready to slide back over here, when you're done chasing dreams and Titans and movie scripts and sitcom scripts and you ever just want to retire in peace with people who love you, come back home.
I am always a 4-hour drive away. I am always happy.
I hear the wife laughing like, oh, he's very nicely saying, I'm still close.
I'm still close here. By. I just happen to live in a place with interstates and hospitals and airports now, which has been great.
But also really, really bad traffic. Like
a lot of traffic. It's very expensive. The hot chicken is just, it's not even flavorful. It's good, but like it's just, it's not a flavor. It's just a spice. It's just hot.
Well, that was the beauty of Little Caesars, man. Like what was brilliant is not that they said our pizza is the best. They said it's hot and it's ready.
Yeah. I lived a summer in New York and I totally took the wrong lesson from it because I didn't want good pizza. I just wanted fast pizza. So I have been loyal to Little Caesars ever since, not because of the quality, but because it's ready.
It's hot and it's ready. Yeah. There's no promise beyond that. It's just hot and it's ready. It's the most beautiful, most perfect marketing scheme ever, in my opinion, for pizza. But nothing is better for draft day than to have you here today with me. The draft, the first round at least, coming up today. The Titans hold the number one overall pick. Cam Ward, likely the pick, I'm assuming. I mean, that seems to be the general consensus. And he's talking on Twitch streams about his favorite running backs being Tony Pollard, his favorite wide receiver being Calvin Ridley. Seems like the hay is in the barn, so to speak, for Cam Ward to be the pick at number one. Is that what you're kind of hearing?
Yeah, no, he's going to be the pick. Like, there could be the shock of all shock that they've been playing everybody for 3 months. But pretty much since the combine, it has been safe to say the Titans have been leaning that direction. And everything they've spoken to, everything they've done since has kind of confirmed what they've seen, which is they like the kid. They like his personality makeup. They like his profile. They like who he is. So you go get him and you hope that he can translate the stuff he did in college with the third down heroics and the fourth quarter heroics and kind of being that late game savior type. He's always been best at that. Maybe he isn't as down-to-down efficient as Jaden Daniels was or Caleb Williams or CJ Stroud or Bryce Young or any of these guys that went in the top the last couple of drafts. But what he can do is put a team on his back, kind of go into hero mode. And the Titans could use that. They need a lot of help, and having somebody who can win on his own, create for himself, is a huge, huge boon.
When did he become, did Cam, the overwhelming QB1 for this draft? What do you think separated him? Because there's been a lot of argument and consternation in regards to who's QB2. Is it Shedeur Sanders or your old friend, Ole Miss's quarterback Jackson Dart, QB3, QB2 to some in this draft? When do you think Cam Ward separated himself? And how far off, if at all, do you think guys like Jackson and Shedeur are from, not necessarily, they're not going to be the pick at one, but is this draft class all that different as far as quarterbacks? It's different than previous years. I don't think there's an overall consensus. When did the Titans kind of come to their consensus?
I mean, there's so many ways to over-intellectualize this, but I think that the thing that separated is that Cam Ward throws the best football of any of these guys.
It's typically what gets it done, I figure.
Yeah, he's just got a really good arm. He has a good pocket presence. You watch Cam Ward, he is the least happy-footed quarterback in the pocket. He will just stand still in the pocket and wait for things to develop. He's very calm, very patient. He plays in an offense that doesn't necessarily translate directly to the NFL, but the principles of the air raid are a little bit more similar to what the NFL has than what Shedeur or what Jackson Dart was doing. And you can throw Milroe in there, who I still think has a chance to be an early day two pick, maybe. I don't know. But I think that around the time of the combine, when NFL teams started talking to these quarterbacks and started getting them in the room, the thing that separated about Cam is, and I'm not saying this is a knock on anybody else, but Cam walks into your building and everybody likes him. Not just the coaches, but all the way down to the cafeteria workers and custodial staff and all of this. He is going to make an impression on everybody. He has that face of the franchise quality. And when you combine that with his pocket presence, with his late game heroics, with his just natural arm talent, and the story of zero star recruit, worked his way up from Incarnate Word to Washington State to Miami, there's a lot of reason to say this kid has the work ethic, he has the drive, he has the ability to be that guy. Will he be that guy? Who the hell knows? It's the NFL. We don't know. He gets compared to everybody. I've heard people compare him to Baker Mayfield. I've heard people compare him to Patrick Mahomes. I've heard Ben Roethlisberger. I've heard Steve McNair. Everything. Wide spectrum of who he can be. He's going to be Cam Ward. We'll see what that means.
We'll see what that means. I do think that sometimes in the pre-draft process, all of us, me included, kind of get caught up in the comp stuff. You know, like, oh, he could be this and this and this. Eventually, they just have to be themselves. And Cam Ward's got a great story. Like you said, touched on it, zero-star recruit. I remember him most for visiting Ole Miss in one of the early portal. You were there, weren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, we were both there talking to Cam. He's that Incarnate Word. He comes into Ole Miss for a visit during the early days of the transfer portal when everybody's kind of figuring out what this is. And it basically became a decision about whether or not to take Cam or to keep going. Cam also had a connection with one of his former coaches, became the offensive coordinator at Washington State. So there was a pool there as well. And Ole Miss was trying to move quickly. They end up in that exact same recruiting timeline, landing Jackson Dart a couple of months later. And now you see them both coming to this draft, potentially both being first-round picks. Do you buy that Jackson Dart is QB2, or where do you have him? You covered him. You know what he's about. And this year, especially towards the end of the year, the Florida game was a disaster. But, Duke in the Gator Bowl had one of his very best games, and he had a great pre-draft, tested well, interviewed well. Are you buying Jackson Dart as a first quarterback? And what do you think he'll be like in the league?
On pure talent, I probably have him evaluated as QB2. On who Nick Suss would draft, I probably have him QB4. Not through any fault of his own. There is a bias here of I want to see exactly one offensive skill player from a Lane Kiffin offense be a good NFL player before I can start, investing high draft pick money into these guys. And again, not a knock on Trey Harris's talent, not a knock on Quinshon if you still want to count him. I don't know if we want to say his name. I don't know how the fan base feels about that.
It's fine. The hay done been in the barn for that one, buddy. I mean, look, when they were running Micah Davis out there, a number five wide receiver now at Southern Miss as the starter at Florida, it is what it is. The answer has been discovered, right? Like, okay, maybe at this point, pay Quinshon what he wanted. But I get why Ole Miss did it. They did the Nico stuff before Tennessee did the Nico stuff. You know what I mean? So
you went and got some other players who are going to be picked in the top 100 with that money. So good job.
Sure. But
I think that I was so gung-ho about Elijah being a superstar in the NFL, Elijah Moore, and it hasn't translated. And you go back to the FAU days, Harrison Bryant, this early draft pick, hasn't really translated. You go back to his days at USC, the Marquise Lees, and these guys haven't really emerged as superstars. That's not to say they can't, but there is something so specific about how successful Lane's college offenses are that I want to see somebody like Jackson Dart, somebody like Trey Harris kind of break the trend, do what Corral couldn't do, do what Elijah Moore hasn't been able to do, emerge as Snoop Connor, Jerry and Ely, any of these guys that I was there for that haven't really translated into the NFL, see one of them emerge as that guy before I can say, yeah, give your franchise over to a guy who played in such a specific scheme where I watched some Ole Miss football last year. I'm not going to pretend I didn't. Those receivers were pretty open. Jordan Watkins was pretty open a lot of the time. Trey Harris was pretty open. Schematically, those were not necessarily comparable to the NFL. And you can say, well, what the hell did Jalen Milroe have that was comparable to the NFL?
Right.
Nothing, but he's very big and fast and strong. And I can project he's going to be big and fast and strong, and the running skills will probably translate. Dart's arm is great. Again, skill set wise, I have him evaluated as just behind Cam Ward on skill set. But you kind of have to look at what's he going to do in an offense where it's not the first read is wide open type stuff.
Which is more than fair. I think that, like I said to Greg McElroy, McElroy and Kublik yesterday, when he said he also had a similar breakdown of Jackson Dart. He has a lot of questions, but you could have questions for every quarterback in this class specifically. The hope is, unlike with Matt, when he was Matt Corral coming out with another not great quarterback class, this quarterback class is better than that one. Kenny Pickett was the first quarterback taken off the board at 21, the Steelers.
And side note, the amount of time you and I spent arguing leading up to that year of like Corral and Spencer Rattler and Kenny Pickett, we wasted so much time and so much of the listeners of the Talk of Champions. I want to apologize retroactively 4 years later for how many arguments we had about that quarterback class of, oh, is Malik Willis the guy? Is Matt Corral the guy? None of them were the guy. I am sorry. We shouldn't have spent so much time talking about it.
Yeah, and this is a better quarterback class than that But also Matt got kind of dealt a crappy hand. He goes to the Panthers where he was going to play that year, but then he gets hurt in preseason camp. They have a terrible season draft. Bryce Young, number one overall. Bryce is starting to come into his own. I think a lot of the Ole Miss skill players like Elijah Moore, like Matt Corral, that you're talking about for Lane Kiffin, that you're kind of knocking Jackson for, there are some now, because not one of them has become the superstar. That's a fair argument, but a lot of it was bad fit. I mean, Elijah goes to the New York Jets for goodness sake, then gets traded to the Cleveland Browns. I would love to see Elijah sign on in free agency with some team that gives him a real opportunity as far as space. Like the 49ers would be great for Elijah Moore.
I'm still not out on Elijah Moore.
I'm not either. I'm so bullish on Elijah Moore specifically. Like I think Trey Harris is going to be a good player, but he has an injury history legitimately. There's stuff like that. Sounds like to me then that you're more bought in on Walter Nolan and or Trey Amos as being the first and if not second picks in the draft for Ole Miss.
I still think Walter Nolan's a top 10 talent.
I agree.
Look, my favorite thing during draft season is I'll plant the flag in January on guys who were just good college football players. And they'll drop and they'll drop and they'll drop because combine talks and testing and all this stuff. And then the week of the draft, the guys I planted the flag on, your Kelvin Bankses and Walter Nolans and Mykel Williams, everyone's like, oh, these guys are going to go way higher than we thought. Right. No, we thought they'd go super high in January. You just overthought it. And so Walter Nolan, don't overthink it. Dude was the number one recruit out of high school. Dude was a consensus All-American last year. I have always watched him and thought, that's Jeffrey Simmons. Mm. I think there is a very similar way they play. Now, he's a little bit smaller than Jeff, if I'm remembering right.
Yeah.
But I think the way they play, both as pass rushers and run stoppers, the all-over-the-field, three-down tenacity as a three-tech who can play as a five-tech if you need him to, I think that versatility is going to be huge. Now, Trey Amos, the thing that's going to happen here is just there is a glut of corners who are going to go between 25 and 50. So the question is, where does he stack against Shavon Revel and Benjamin Morrison and Maxwell Hairston? And there's a bunch of corners in that range who is going to be valued. And then you throw in guys like Xavier Watts or Nick Amonwari or Malachi Stark, some of these safeties who could go. It's just going to be preference on which DBs teams like. And I think Trey Amos has a lot of reason to like him. It's just there's so many people at that position.
Yeah, Trey, I think his clock starts around the 20s and then it's watching to see where he goes. But as far as transferable traits and immediately making an impact of all these Ole Miss guys, I think Trey Amos is right there. I think Trey is probably that guy. Jackson's going to need to go to a good situation, not get the Matt Corral treatment or the Elijah Moore treatment and go to a bad fit for him. You're seeing a lot of New York Giants projections for him. I've seen a number of mocks from Dane Brugler to Daniel Jeremiah that have the Giants trading back into the back end of the first round to draft him. Could you imagine Jackson following in Eli's footsteps for the Giants? That's just like the perfect Ole Miss story. Then you got the son of the GM of the Giants sending out an Instagram story with Jackson Dart highlights. I'm just saying, are we setting up for like the perfect Ole Miss landing spot for Jackson Dart? Because the Giants seems about perfect.
That would be very fun. I'm sure there are a lot of Ole Miss fans who became Giants fans because of Eli. And I am sure that there are a lot of Ole Miss fans who became New Orleans Saints fans because of a different Manning. Mm. And if those two teams both need quarterbacks right now, that is a nice fit. Now, we'll see what the Saints do. I don't think anybody knows what the Saints actually want to do right now.
I don't think the Saints know what they want to do right now.
They are one of the teams that is in that unpredictable mold right now. I'd say the Saints, the Jaguars, there's a couple of other teams near the top of the draft that everybody you talk to is just like, I don't know, something's going to happen. They're going to pick somebody. They got to pick somebody. But yeah, I think Jackson, if he lands in New York, you have this really strange quarterback room of Russell Wilson and Jameis Winston and Tommy DeVito already in place. And that is just a recipe for, I don't know where the reps are going to be divided. I don't know who the mentor is. I don't know. Do you gravitate toward Jameis? Do you gravitate toward Russ? Do they trade Jameis if they can around training camp time to a team that's a little more backup needy? I don't know what they would do. The Giants have always been the team that I heard from the beginning. I remember being down at the Senior Bowl and hearing, oh, the Giants are going to trade for Cam Ward. They're desperate. They want it so bad. That has not materialized. So I don't know. I think that they are a tough organization to predict about, because more than any other team looking for a quarterback right now, they have a coach and a GM who know that if this year doesn't work, they're done. Everybody else, the clock, at least one of the clocks is reset. The Giants have two ticking clocks.
Yeah, they have to get it right. They can't miss, because their jobs are on the line. There are 11, I think, draft eligible Rebels, or more than that. We've talked about the big three with Walter Nolan, Jackson Dart, and Trey Amos, but other guys that are going to be drafted fairly high: Princely Umanmielen, Jared Ivey's another one, Chris Poupall potentially, J.J. Pegues potentially. Of all those other guys, I don't want to call them second-tier guys, but of the guys that probably aren't – I think Princely could sneak into the back end of the first round at this point, but what was originally looking like potentially five first-round picks for Ole Miss is now looking more and more like two to three, right, two or three, with Walter Nolan, Trey Amos, and Jackson Dart. These other players that accomplished, like, for example, Chris Poupall is a Butkus Award award finalist. He led Ole Miss in tackles last year. Of those guys, who do you think has the most transferable traits? Who are you most bullish on about being a good professional player?
I really like Princely. I have always liked what I've seen from him, and he's going to have to be a situational player. I don't think he's, with his size, I don't think he's going to be an every down kind of guy, maybe not to the degree that Ivy can be. Ivy can be an every down player with his size. He can play 3-7-5 wherever you need him. Princely's going to be a third down specialist, but dude can get after it. Dude just rushes the passer well. I have always been impressed by that, and this league is bedrock built on situational pass rushers at this point. Like, you need guys like him to make the team go. I've been joking a lot recently that there are only five things that matter in the modern NFL, and it's the guy who throws the ball, the guy who catches the ball, the guy who protects the guy who throws the ball, the guy who tries to tackle the guy who throws the ball, right, and the guy who tries to tackle the guy who catches the ball. Five things. It's all about throwing the ball. Princely can do one of those things, whereas I think Ivy probably more of a situational run stopper who can maybe get after the passer. Pegues, love him, have no idea what he's going to be as a pro. Like, truly just do not have any projection of what his pro will look like. And then Paul, I don't really know as much about. The Titans have not been as much in the market of that position, so I haven't gotten super, super into him. But watching him in college, he's a all-over-the-field kind of player. I always liked that. I'm trying to think of who else. I know there's a lot of other guys that could go, but Watkins could be a seventh-round pick, sixth-round pick. He could sneak in toward the end, and I think that I if people listening are Titans fans, I just watched 3 years of Nick Westbrook-Ikhine sticking in the NFL as a pretty solid two or three option. I think Jordan Watkins could fill that role of he's still in the NFL.
Yeah.
He's making catches. He's making plays.
We call it the Mike Hilton track here at Ole Miss. You know, like, Mike Hilton was undrafted. I think Jordan could get drafted, but a guy that, I mean, 10 years in, Laquan's 10 years in, but he was a first round pick, right? He hadn't done a lot in his career, but the fact that he stuck for 10 years is a testament unto itself. But guys like Mike Hilton, who were either late round, undrafted, and then stick, you look up and go, Mike's still playing. He's on the Bengals now. Oh, Mike's still playing. I think Jordan has a lot of potential for that. And I think Trey Washington, like an AJ Finley sticking with the Chargers, right? Or Dean Leonard sticking with the Chargers. Yeah. Guys in the back end that, I mean, a 4-year starter that tests incredibly well. You just got to find the right fit in the right team that's looking for real value back there. And who knows, man, you could be sticking on a practice squad or better yet, an official roster for 10 years. And I think Trey could be one of those guys too. Yeah.
AJ's a good one to bring up. I remember we talked about this a bunch, of my opinion of, like, that dude's a 12-year pro. He's just
nailed it.
And he's still in the league. I don't think he's still with the Chargers. He might be with Minnesota. He's bounced around a little bit, but he's going to be in the league for a long time.
I mean, because again, those transferable traits include special teams. And if you can wear a lot of different hats, Trey Washington could play all safety positions and play special teams. You got to look at guys like that. Maybe Jordan Watkins has shown in his pre-draft visits, like, for example, to the 49ers, that he can be a gunner on special teams. That's what you got to think about with those other guys in the late rounds and who they might stick with. I want to play a little round of fact or fiction on the NFL draft, and also because I hadn't gotten to see you, I used to play games whenever you'd come on the show. So do you want to play some fact or fiction with me?
Fact, I do.
All right. Fact or fiction, the Cowboys will draft a wide receiver with number 12 overall? It's not an Ole Miss question. I just wanted to see what they did.
I believe so. I have predicted they'll take Matt Golden, who I have as the number two receiver in this class behind Travis Hunter. I like Matthew Golden a lot.
So you like him more than Ted?
I like him more than Ted. It's a small story. This is an inherently dumb bias. I was on Super Bowl Radio Row this year, and I stood next to Ted McMillan, and he wasn't as big as I thought he would be, and that just knocked me out on. I'm like, he was standing next to Travis Hunter, who we've all spent months being like, too small. Travis Hunter's too small. And I looked at Ted McMillan, I'm like, he's not that much bigger than Travis Hunter. Like, he's bigger. He's clearly bigger than Travis Hunter. But I expected him to be this, like, 6'5 Megatron. And he was just, like, a guy. So, yeah, he's probably really good at football. But all things equal, I prefer Golden. And I probably prefer Ibuka, too. But we're not allowed to talk about that.
Well, I was actually going to talk about Ibuka earlier. I can't remember who exactly you mentioned. Walter Nolan's a good example of this. Ultimately, he's like a Walter Nolan. Don't overthink it. I think Ibuka is going to be good from day one. And like, if the Cowboys drafted him at 12 overall, people go, oh, that's a reach. But going into the year, he was a top 15 projected pick, right? So sometimes in this draft analysis, we get carried away with one, comps, and two, not really giving them the credit they deserve for their previous, you know, ranking and how they came up, their production, the tape. The tape is what tells the tale, and Ibuka, I think, is going to be a stud. I'd love for the Cowboys to take him at 12.
The comparison I've had for Ibuka for a long time is dating back to when I was in college. I remember there was this player who in August, September, October was the number one receiver in his class. Always was supposed to be the number one receiver in his class. And he had a little bit of a weak senior season, and he didn't test super well. And by the time the draft rolls around, he's a third-round pick, he's a fourth-round pick. People are like, oh, Keenan Allen. Well, what are we doing with this? Why did we ever think he was going to be good? 12 years later, 4 or 5 Pro Bowls later, trust your instincts. Dude was good at catching passes. Stephon Diggs had the same situation.
Mm.
5-star recruit out of high school. We all knew he was great. I think he fell into like the second or third round. Perennial Pro Bowl. Receiver's an easy position to scout. If they're big and fast and strong, or if they're shifty, or if they run well routes well, that's going to translate. Just let it translate.
The only guys that – I mean, the guys that are going to have trouble are the ones that can't get separation, especially off the line of scrimmage. I mean, that's what Laquan dealt with. Like, Dez Bryant is the king of the contested catch, right? But, like, not everybody is Dez Bryant. That was going to have to be what Laquan became, and he didn't become that. So if they separate and they're faster and they catch, I mean, and they – I don't understand why we overthink some of these things, especially with a player that we already thought was good in Ibuka. Sorry, I got my Cowboys question in, fact or fiction, and Nick Suss says, fact, my Cowboys will get – a wide receiver, too, to pair with one C.D. Lamb. Fact or fiction, Ole Miss will have over 3.5 first-round picks tonight.
Fiction.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would be more comfortable saying one than three. So I'll put it that way.
Mm.
I don't think Trey Amos sneaks in. I could be very, very wrong, but I just don't see
Trey. You don't see that one. All right, fact or fiction, an Ole Miss Rebel will surprise us with how high they are drafted. That could mean Jackson Dart going at 26. That could be Princely sneaking to the back end of the first round. That could be Walter going in the top 10 like you and I think he deserves because he's just a really good football player. Fact or fiction, an Ole Miss Rebel will surprise with how high they are drafted.
I don't know if I will have the capacity to be surprised, but broadly fact, somebody will be surprised. By the definition of surprise, somebody will be like, whoa! I thought he was a third-round pick, and he went 58th.
Right.
Somebody will be surprised.
This is Cali. With C Spire's blazing fast nationwide 5G network, she's got her fans in the palm of her hands. Live streaming her Mississippi Blues from her phone wherever she is. Out there, wherever they are. Right now, get the latest 5G phone on us. Only at C Spire, customer inspired.
Talk of Champions is presented by our friends at College Corner. Of course, College Corner is the spot for all Ole Miss fans to find the best of the best when it comes to the Ole Miss swag. They've got locations in Flowood, Ridgeland, and the Oxford Commons. So make sure you head over there, check out their store. And if you do shop online, make sure you click the link in our episode description so that we get a little credit for helping you out by getting you the right swag, whether it be baseball series, whether it be summer family events, or just getting ready for the fall. They've got the full lineup of all the Ole Miss gear that you want to see, and it all comes to you from our friends at College Corner. So check them out today. And again, hit that link in our bio and support them and check out the best gear that any Rebel fan would like to have at College Corner.
Ole Miss fans, for better or worse, I've been a nicotine user most of my adult life. I've tried it all. So when I recommend free pouches with their convenience, fast flavor, and fast effect, trust that it's coming from someone who knows. Free Pouches is a zero tobacco nicotine pouch designed for people who want simple and hassle-free without all the smoke, vapor, or smell that comes with. Free Pouches range from 3 megs to 15 with flavors from mint and wintergreen to watermelon and lush. I've always been partial to wintergreen, just like I was when I dipped, but at least this time there aren't endless nasty bottles to clean up. No, Free Pouches sit comfortably and release flavor evenly. They're perfect for meetings, commutes, or when you just need to throw one in to calm the nerves of an Ole Miss game. Even better, Free Pouches offer instant delivery straight to your door. So try Free Pouches today. Right now, Talk of Champions listeners can get 20% off their order at freepouch.com with promo code LISTEN20. That's freepouch.com, freepouch.com, and use my promo code LISTEN20 to get 20% off today. Free, strength you can count on.
No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Hey, what's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Fact or fiction, Ashton Jeanty is going to be a top five pick because I really wanted him to fall to 12.
I'm starting to think fact. I don't necessarily know if it's a good thing for the NFL. Like, I've said this take on other shows before. I'm sorry, this is not a Talk of Champions exclusive.
That's okay.
Ashton Jeanty will be to Bijan Robinson as Travion Henderson is to Jahmyr Gibbs.
Ooh.
Ashton Jeanty is going to be the first running back picked. He's going to be a Pro Bowl running back. He's going to be a hyper-productive running back. Travion Henderson is going to go in the mid to late first round.
To the Cowboys. Or hopefully middle of the second round to the Cowboys.
He is, best case scenario, going to go to a team that has another running back. So the Cowboys are out on that. And he's only going to need to touch the ball 10 to 15 times a game. And when he does, he's going to be the absolute spark plug.
So he's Devin Achane.
He's Devin Achane, he's Jahmyr Gibbs, he's whoever you want to call of like the change of pace. My perfect place for him is Minnesota. You have Aaron Jones, who can be the David Montgomery type, and then you go get Travion Henderson and let him be your change of pace back. Or maybe the Rams with Kyron Williams, of you let him be a 1B running back, and he'll average 7 yards per touch.
So you like Travion more than Omarion Hampton?
I do, because Omarion Hampton's going to have to be a touch the ball 25 times a game guy. And I think the NFL has kind of passed that by. There are some guys who can do it, and Jeanty can do it, and Bijan Robinson can do it, and like that's still a thing. But if you're asking me what has more value these days, there's a reason Jahmyr Gibbs is talked about significantly more than some of his contemporaries, even though Bijan Robinson's every bit as good as we thought he would be. He's a really good NFL running back. But he's not the guy who's making all these big plays, and he's not the guy on the good team. So hopefully for Travion's sake, he ends up on a good team where he can do the Jahmyr Gibbs thing and my take can be good.
That means that Quinshon goes to the Cowboys in round two. And you know what? Bring it on. The single season Ole Miss record holder for rushing yards. Bring him to Dallas and let him be a Cowboy with Miles Sanders. And
he'll run for 4.5 yards, and then he'll run for another 4.5 yards, and then he'll run for another 4.5 yards, and that's a good thing.
He's essentially Ezekiel Elliott like 3 years in.
Yeah, sure. I like that comp.
I could buy that. All right, fact or fiction, an Ole Miss Rebel not named Jackson Dart, Trey Amos, and Walter Nolan will have the longest career of this Ole Miss draft class. We'll have the longest of all Ole Miss Rebels. Fact or fiction?
Ooh.
I'm giving you Chris Paul. I'm giving you Princely Mamiellen, Jared Ivey, Jordan Watkins, Ulysses Bentley.
I would not be shocked if Jared Ivey has that kind of a career. Mm. Just on a, I'm not comparing him to this guy, but like on a Danico Autry kind of level of like that big defensive end who can also play defensive tackle type is something that once you learn how to do that skill, you don't age out of it. That is just a skill that you grow more wily and more veteran respected and all that stuff of that is a position that you see a lot of like 33, 34 year old grizzled veterans in the locker room that are just like, yeah, I absorb blocks from guards and tackles. That is my job. And I think
I love when Ashton Jinty said, this is tackle football. Why don't y'all draft the guy who no one can tackle? Like, it's sometimes it does become Nick Suss simple, right? It's very simple. This is a player that can play all across the defensive line and play it well enough, whether as a starter or not. Yeah, I think Jared Ivey could be that guy. That's kind of where I was going with it. I want to give a shout out to my guy Jay. Now, fact or fiction, last one. Nick Suss misses Ole Miss, misses his friend Ben, still pays attention, still goes, you know what? They love me over there, and you know I need to give them a shout out. Fact or fiction? You miss Ole Miss sports.
It is a fact. I will readily admit there were some ups and downs. There were some periods where the general Ole Miss fan base wanted me out.
No.
I will tell you very fun true story. I can't remember what we called the segment where I just told random stories, but let's.
That's sus.
I accidentally pressed on the Twitter button that's like Grok bio or something the other day. Mm. And it was like making what my Twitter bio should be. And the last line of it was, people seem to love Nick except for his Heisman Trophy takes. And I'm like, that sums it up, man.
It's pretty fair.
That is pretty fair. People did not like those. But yeah, I told you before the show, some people might appreciate knowing this. Brother, I cannot name an Ole Miss football player other than Austin Simmons right now. I cannot name an Ole Miss basketball player. I still watch 3 Ole Miss baseball games a week.
I can't get over that.
I am still watching Ole Miss baseball. Wednesday nights, the wife goes to an acting class, and I'm like, ooh. Oh, hell yeah, midweek college baseball time.
The Governor's Cup in Pearl with Mississippi State.
I had Twitter up because my ESPN app logged me out, and I'm just like refreshing the Swayze Field Twitter account of like, oh, I need to know what happened. It's the 8th inning. I got to follow. I am listening to DK on the radio still pretty regularly. Beautiful. Of just like, let's hear. I'm stuck in Nashville traffic. Let's listen to the Rebs play some baseball. Let's hear what Mitchell Sanford's up to these days. I am still checking.
You can't name another football player other than Austin Simmons, but you can name Mitchell Sanford one of the 3 transfers Ole Miss baseball added in the offseason. Holy crap. Nick, you're a dirtbag, man. Awesome.
I can name the starting 9. You want to go around the diamond? I can do it. It's not a good thing for me, but it's just a thing I can do.
Friday night starter.
Hunter Elliott.
Catcher.
Austin Fawley.
First base.
Has Furness been playing first?
Yeah, it's been Furness. And a little bit of Colin Reuter in there. Yeah. Second base.
They put Uttermark there, right?
Yeah, which is the biggest second baseman, most athletic second baseman to ever exist. Shortstop.
It's been a lot of guys. Chang's been doing it most, but Randall and Pano have been playing a little bit.
Nailing it. Third base.
Third base, is that where Mormon plays?
It's Luke Hill.
Oh, Luke Hill's playing third. That's right. Yeah. I know he's leading off.
Talk about a great story. Luke Hill, great story. And he was at the last night, the Grove Collective Caravan. And, man, I walked up to him. He was getting some food. I was like, look, I'm going to come talk to you, because it was just a bunch of older people. And look, I got a baby face. I'm old as hell too. But like, I was like, I'm going to go talk to Luke. And Luke was like, yeah, man, I got here at 5:15. They told me to get here. I felt nervous. And I look around. I'm like, I don't know anyone here. I was like, well, let's be friends, Luke. So Luke Hill, captain of Ole Miss baseball, well, unofficially, playing third. Left field is Ryan Moorman. We'll give you that one. And center field is?
Humphrey.
And right field is?
Is the aforementioned Mitchell Sanford.
And then your DH can be any number of guys.
A.D. Federico.
Yes,
and the guy. And Smithwick not playing enough. Dude hits the ball every time he's in.
There you go. Mike, did you hear that? Nick Suss said, what's the deal? What is the deal with Campbell Smithwick? He hits every time you play him. One of your biggest fans of Ole Miss baseball, Mike Bianco, has a gripe. His name is Nick Suss, and he's like, dang it. Play Campbell Soup more as a DH. I like it. I go for it. Because Austin Folley, you can't take him out of the lineup. The man's hitting bombs every single game.
He's raking.
And, of course, Nick Suss, the best thing I've heard today, is right there paying attention as Ole Miss makes its walking journey on the road to Omaha while he's sitting in Tennessee. I love that.
I will plug my successor's successor at this point. I still talk to young Sam Hutchins pretty regularly, giving him
great kid
advice on navigating this Ole Miss baseball beat. I let him do football on his own. I let him do basketball. But every once in a while, it's before the Tennessee series, and I'm like, hey, man, you should probably look into what happened last time Tennessee came to Oxford. There's some stories to tell there.
See, and I actually thought about you yesterday before I even texted you, because I remember, like, you used to do, like, the really interesting notes and stats and stuff.
Yeah.
And I decided I want to bring that back, but I want to name it after you. I want to call it, like, the Suss list. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So we need to start collaborating on like some really interesting factoids, if for no other reason than to keep you plugged in with the place that loves you a lot, Ole Miss, baby. And you're welcome here on the Talk of Champions podcast, brought to you by Riverland Roofing. Our friends at Riverland, 662-644-4297, riverlandroofing.com. Billy Landis and them, I'm praying for y'all. They're going through some stuff. But as a business, man, what an unbelievable business locally that's been helping us and Ole Miss sports writ large. So support them. Our love for B&A Bank. My local bank here in New Albany, but also in Tupelo and elsewhere. Great local bank that you need to check out. College Corner will have Austin Simmons, Ole Miss quarterback, the only football player Nick Suss knows now, at a meet and greet for Double Decker this weekend. I plan to be there, if not have him on TJ Dottery's first podcast here on Talk of Champions next week. So a lot of big things coming, and we want to give our shouts and thanks to Riverland and College Corner, B&A, Alan Samuels, Status Jet, My Perfect Franchise. Just really thrilled to have them and for the support they give us. And I'm really thrilled to talk to my friend Nick. It's been too long. We need to do this more often. I would do it every week, but I know that you're a busy man now. So maybe I'll hit you up in like 2 or 3 weeks and we can do like going into the summer kind of deal. Maybe I'll make you read the Ole Miss roster, right? And pick out some guys to ask me questions for. Then we could really be cooking with some bacon grease. Yeah, now that we know that you're just nothing but a fan, it's beautiful.
I will interview you about who the heck is this person? And you can tell fun facts, Suss style fun facts about people I've never heard of.
See, the Suss list, and I'm going to do it like Chris Jericho did in WWE. You just made the list, you know, the Suss list. And we'll have like interesting factoids with my man, Nick Suss. Yeah. Nick, tell the people how they can read your stuff and keep up with you when you're not just coming on Talk of Champions.
Yeah. Tennessean.com. I'm still at Nick Suss on Twitter. Is this a video thing? Are people watching this, or is this just
I was going to do it live, but I stopped. I decided not to just because I don't trust myself to do something live right now.
So I'll just say, for people who cannot see what our backdrop is, this thing behind me, that is the press box thing that I stole from the TD Ameritrade press box at the College World Series when Ole Miss won it. I still have that hanging on my wall behind me. And I still, within arm reach of my Zoom setup, have my Ole Miss championship book. That is still prominent. Oh, man.
Do I look any different? No, he's the same. He was just holding the trophy 2 years ago on the field, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, well, so, I miss you, buddy.
Still got my Clarion Ledger Outback Bowl press pass right here hanging on the wall.
That's the good stuff.
Still missing you guys. So, yeah, Tennessean.com if you want to check stuff out, if you care at all about the Titans. And then also, I will still rep for the Clarion Ledger. Go check out what Sam's doing. Go check out what other Sam is doing. There's two Sams. That's two Sams. Mm-hmm. Those guys are very nice. I met them when they came to Nashville for the SEC basketball tournament this year. Good kids. And if we're just naming people, Eckert's doing great in Austin too.
I forgot to ask you about David. I forgot he'd gone to Austin. He's covering the Texas Longhorns. You know, that's what I tell every Clarion Ledger beat report. I haven't said it to Sam yet because he's, you know, he's just a young cat. What do I always say to the Clarion Ledger guys when I first meet y'all?
The first thing Ben ever said to me, we were in the parking lot at Swayze, and he said, "We can't be friends.
Because you'll be gone."
And then I went and won you over anyway.
And here we are all these years later. I helped turn you into a devoted Ole Miss – I'm going to take credit for that – Ole Miss baseball fan, Ole Miss fan in general. I don't get to talk to VZ as much as I used to. I don't get to see Brand or talk to Brand as much as I used to. But dang it if I don't get to talk to my man Nick Suss. And I love you, brother. Thank you for coming on and doing this. Have fun with the draft, and let's do it again soon.
Yeah, we'll talk soon. This will be a much shorter break between the last appearance. We'll do this really soon.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of U.S. soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
If you're the purchasing manager at a manufacturing plant, you know having a trusted partner makes all the difference. That's why, hands down, you count on Grainger for auto reordering. With on-time restocks, your team will have the cut-resistant gloves they need at the start of their shift. And you can end your day knowing they've got safety well in hand. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.